Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 8, verse 13 also. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and cannot fathom all and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give my possessions to the poor, it's important for us to hear, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. Hear these things. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. When you hear this list, you start working through the love that you have or the love that you've received. It's kind of a love checklist. A true, the unfailing love of God checklist. It says it is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps, this is huge. It keeps no record of wrongs. Can I have a good amen on that one? We just go home right there. Keeps no record of wrongs. How often we keep a list of how someone has wronged us or what someone did. And when we're hurt, when we're offended, when we're challenged, what do? We bring that list out. We live with a list of wrongs. The Bible goes on to say, love does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. Verse 13. And now these three remain. These three are solid. It says these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So there's these three pillars that the Bible says that just stands up above some of the other things, some of the great attributes. There's this faith, hope, and love. It says the one that is the highest pillar of them all is the love of God, the agape love of God, the unconditional, true, authentic, real deal, genuine love of God. I had the great honors, I guess about 6 or 7 weeks ago, to be able to go out to Angola prison. We do a lot of work there. Brother Rince, who's in our church, one of our presbyters, is a chaplain there. We do a lot of things out there. We're cooking for Christ and some Bible studies and help bring the kids back to their parents and connect them for a day. Just do a lot of different things working with the prison out there and the family and the employees of the prison. There's about 6,000-7,000 people that are there on a given day, and there's about 5,000 inmates that are out there. So a lot of things happen in Angola. Many of you have been out there. You've worked out there. It's a big place, a lot of acres, and it's just huge. It's like a city. And just so privileged to go out there and to connect with the chaplain. And we walked around. I was there with Brother Rince and some others that were with us. And I've never been to a lot of the places. He said, let me take you over. And we met some of the inmates. And then he said, let's go over to Death Row, which I had been in years ago. But it was a quick tour. And we went over to Death Row. And I walked into Death Row and were able to meet some of those who are on Death Row that are not going to walk out of Angola. Most of them are going to stay right there in that spot. And then later on, we went to the death chamber, which I'd never been to. I've seen pictures of it. And I'll tell you this, I was getting ready to preach, but by going to Death Row and seeing about 70, I think there's 70 plus men that are on death row in Angola. I may be wrong on that number, but somewhere in there. And then be able to watch that. And then I walked over to the death chamber and walked in the room. There was the table. And it messed me up, church. I mean, I'm going to preach and going to see several hundred men, encourage them. I sat there in that room and was just trying to compute it all, trying to digest all of what goes on in this room. What are the last? I mean, this is the doorway of eternity for many a soul. And I thought about all the men that had laid on that table and looked up at that ceiling, and the last thing they saw were those little squares in that ceiling. Oh, how many stories, how many lies, what's going on here? How much pain, how much problems has this situation created? How many lives did they affect? Just all this was scanning. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're getting like information overload. I'm standing in that room getting information overload. And I went on later and went to the chapel. And it was a great service. Boy, they want you to preach. I said, how long do you want me to preach? As long as you want to. They ain't got nowhere to go. Literally. So the guy said, preach as long as you want. I preached like an hour and a half. You got more? Give us some more. I ain't got nothing else. I'll try to sing. We'll shut this meeting down in a hurry. I can't sing. And able to spend time. Later on, I sat down with one of the guys that are there. And I met some guys, and a couple of them said, we are lifers. We are lifers. That means they're never leaving. They've forgotten about the gate. They've forgotten about getting outside the gate. All they're thinking about is maintaining life right there in that small part of the world. And I sat down with one of the writers of the Angola newspaper, and we began to talk. And we started talking about different things. And I said to him, I said, talk to me for a second. What's a common denominator here? Just as for information's sake, I'm not stereotyping anyone. I'm not trying to put somebody in a class or a group. But what would you say as being here? He has a 40-year sentence. They've just reduced it to about a 20-year sentence. He's serving 10 years, got 10 more years to go. He said, man, I'm getting out soon. I'm getting out in 10 years. He said, I thought I was getting out in 30 years. I can't wait. Just right around the corner. Wow. Decades right around the corner. So here's what he told me. He said, most, not all, most of these men, and we're not making an excuse for any one thing that they've done. He said, most of these men never knew the love of a father. He said, now, there are some that did. But if you're asking me what's the common denominator, in my opinion, in my little small opinion, and I'm not making an excuse for anything that's gone on, did not know the love of the Father. I left there that night, had a wonderful service at our St. Francisville campus. I left there that night, could not shake that. Started thinking about the pain that creates. Started thinking about the hurt that creates. Started thinking about the tears of victims and the tears of their own family and mamas and spouses and children that will never spend time with their dad or with their brother or with their son. All these different things that go on. Oh, Brother Rince, he deals with it every single day. But I'm just there thinking, and it's just going. I lay down that night and started thinking about this whole idea. This idea of what's going on behind those fences is not much different than what's going on outside those fences. Come on, somebody. See, there's a lot of people that are behind the fence that are incarcerated, but they are more freer than people that are living in the free world. And I just started thinking about men that I knew and men that I'm friends with and people in my life that even though they're living free, they've never experienced maybe the love of their earthly dad. But I went another level. I started thinking about the impact of never being able to experience the love of our Heavenly Father. And never receiving the love of our Heavenly Father. And never saying yes to the love of our Father. And never saying, embracing the love of our Heavenly Father. Never discovering the love of our Heavenly Father. Never allowing our Heavenly Father through His Son to love us and to forgive us and to give us a new beginning. I just started kind of ramping through all this. You know, you think about things like that when you're a little bit older. You know, I was young. I didn't think much about it as much. But just the idea of how love, L-O-V-E, makes a difference. I heard somebody refer to it as it relates to people that struggle with that are never loved or never let someone love them or never let someone into their life. Because a lot of people will try. There's a parent that will try to love a son, but then that son maybe will not allow that to happen. Or there's a husband that will try to love a woman, but that woman will not allow that to happen because of things that happened in the past. How many know sometimes we pay the price of someone else's abuse? Oh, is anybody hearing me at Sunday morning? I know it's middle of the summer, but come on, somebody, can I have a better amen? I mean, you think about it. You and I deal with people. We deal with those who have been hurt, wounded, offended, that have walked through failure and rejection, and you and I are trying to love that person. You and I are trying to share the love of God, but then they're just kind of, you know, back up, man, I don't need it. I don't, you know, that's that kind of outward thing. And someone called that the minus love factor. You need to know when you're dealing or when you're helping or you're ministering to someone who has a minus love factor in their life for a lot of different reasons. When the Apostle Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, he's writing, listen to this, to a smart bunch. He's writing to a sophisticated bunch. Johnny, they were a very spiritual bunch. Because he says later, you got spiritual gifts. You got a lot of things happening. But if you don't get this right, if you don't excel in the edifying of the love of God, all that other stuff won't matter, nor will it last. Because the Apostle Paul knew that the love of God, the unstoppable love of God, makes the difference. I was thinking this weekend, if I only had a few moments to spend with a person, sometimes I only get a few moments to talk. I mean, just in a weekend like this, I only get 20, 25 minutes to talk a little bit. But if you only had a moment to share with someone, if I was sitting down and a guy said, tell me in 30 seconds what Christianity is. Tell me in 15, it's a kind of a little quick combination, a little 1-2, a little boom, boom, a little right, left. If all I could do is a little right, left, and that's all I had to say to somebody, two quick statements about God's plan, or to explain what I believe is truth, and what I believe is eternity, and what I believe is on the other side of the grave. If I only had one little combination, pow, pow, I would say this, just real simply. We talked about one of them last week. I would say this, God loves you, Jesus is Lord. If all I had was a quick combination, a little 1-2, because I could go karate right now on this stage, you'd be amazed. If all I had was a 1-2, I would just say to someone, I think you could sum it up in that God loves you and that Jesus is Lord. If that's all you ever hear, if that's all you need to begin with, if that's all you had to say to someone that's walking out the door, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to believe. If you could just get in two quick statements, you would want to yell, God loves you and Jesus is Lord. Remember that. I mean, if there's any, if someone's sailing off, you're never going to see them again. If all you got is to say that, and you and I know both know that if you had more time, you'd be able to unpack so much more about His Word and the truth, the grace and the mercy, eternity. God loves you. We talked about it last week. Jesus is Lord. So I believe the love of God through Jesus, His Son, changes everything. I married Delyn 21 years ago. She was young. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, after 21 years of marriage, that girl is crazy about me. She can't keep her eyes off of me. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know how you guys are working through it. It's crazy. Okay? I know it surprises many people. It has not always been that way. Okay? Delyn was a hard fish to reel in. It took her a while. I loved her, and I'm not afraid to admit it, before she loved me. And I'll throw it out. Really, Pastor, throw it out. I mean, she's right there by the bait. She just sniffed and look at it. Couldn't even get on the hook. Throw it out and try to catch her. Reel it by her. I mean, deep water, top water, spinner bait, purple worm. Come on, with some rhinestones, help me out. Little precious moment statue on the end of it. My daddy's American Express card. Throw it out there. Take your shopping, girl. We'll go to Mike Edison's right now. I mean, I did everything I could. Eventually, she bit it. Pow! She swam on in. I got her in the boat. And it was not catch and release, if you know what I'm talking about. It was be fruitful and multiply. Come on, somebody. And so, but it wasn't always like that. I loved her before she loved me. God loved you before you even knew Him. See, the Bible says, while we were enemies, while we didn't even know, while we were clueless, He threw it out there, His Son, to die on a cross. And He keeps throwing it out there. And I believe that once you'll eventually get it. That's my prayer. You'll get it. So I believe there are only two types of people in the world. There are those that are Christians, and then there are those that are not yet Christians. See, I'm believing God that none would perish, but that all would come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do I believe some are going to perish? Yes, they're going to perish. But I want to work, and I want to serve, and I want to give like we can reach everybody possible we can. I want to reach people.
But when she finally, when I said I love you, and I said it first and waited on her to say it, I was going to say it one night, and she told me, back up the train, don't say what I think you're getting ready to say to me. What do you think I'm going to say to you? Let's go to Raxton, let's get a BBQ. What are you talking about? I'm going to say that to you. What are you thinking about? How many of you can't launch out there, I love you, and get I like you? You know what? I love you. Thanks. Can we go bowling? That's not a good day. You want to, I love you back. So finally, I could tell she was ready. And I said, I love you. And she said, I love you back. And so there was a connection of love. And guess what? The game changed. When you go from I like you to I love you, things change. That's why you want to be a person. If you're not married, you don't want to just throw out I love yous like Chick-fil-A nugget samples in the mall. I don't know where I got that from. You just, if you're single, you, I love you. Somebody love me. Will you love me? Will you love me? I'll give you some Polynesian sauce. Will you love me? You don't want to say it. If you're single, you're not married, back up the train a little. Hold up on that. Why? Because when you say, I love you, it's meant to be different. The game is supposed to change. See, the game changes when love is involved. Remember this, the presence of His love in and through us changes everything. But also the absence of it, when there's not true, authentic, unconditional, sacrificial love, it changes everything. There's nothing worse than you having a definition of love and then being in relationship with someone who has a different definition of love. And your definition is sacrifice, and their definition is take. Your definition is to wait and be holy and live before God, and their definition is, I don't care about God, I just want you. Your definition is sacrifice. Your definition is unconditional, and their definition is, you better make me happy. And if you don't make me happy, I'm taking my love back. See, you don't want to be in, that's a tough relationship when you have two different definitions of love. And that's what God does. God takes us on a journey through His Son to show us unconditional, unfailing love. He says, and that's what I want you to receive. Then that's what I want you to give. That's what I want you to show. That's what I want you to be. I'm going to break this down in just two simple applications. I'm going to finish up. Two simple applications about the unstoppable love of God. Here's the first one, the unstoppable love of God. And I really believe it's going to be application for our heart and then hopefully from our heart. The unstoppable love of God has a crystal clear sound. You know it when you hear it. You know it when you see it. It's different than other loves that are defined in this world. It's clear. There's a clear, even the Bible says it in that verse 1. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding God or a clanging cymbal. See, the love of God is not distorted. It's not muffled. If your words and your life don't match, then it's a clanging cymbal. If you live one way in public and another way in private, then your words don't match. It's a clanging cymbal. I got a little illustration. This is Bananas. That's what I call him. He's my boy. He hangs out with me. And now he's a little creepy. And so some of you probably have nightmares. But I love, he has a talent. That's all he does. And every once in a while he'll do this. Talent, he has a talent. Now here's what the Bible says. The Bible says this, that if you only have words, and if your love is only in words, but it's not real, this is what you're giving off. If we're a church that says, oh, we care about the addict, we care about those that are struggling with sexual orientation, we care about those that are homeless, we care about those that are fighting through things, but we're not willing to give, and we're not willing to counsel, and we're not willing to go the second mile, we are nothing but the first church of the clanging cymbal. Can I have a better amen? We're not willing to sacrifice. I mean, you think about it. What you heard from the Windborne Avenue Baptist leadership was not that. You hear a clear sound. Wow. They must have did that because they loved Jesus. to make a statement. We want to reach people and to be able to go ahead and follow through with that. That's the love of God. See, in our life, if we just say one thing and then live another way, if we just say we care and then live another way, if we say we care about AIDS orphans but we don't tithe or we don't give, if we say we care about kids and we're not worried about their space, if we say we care about those in our community that are fighting through the foster care challenge but not willing to extend our hand and our love to them as a church, if we're not willing to give the space over to special needs and to families, guess what? We are nothing but Christian noise. And how many knows in this world we don't need any more Christian noise? We need a clear sound from heaven that God loves you and Jesus Christ is Lord. It's crystal in our life, in our home, in our workplace, with our old crazy friends. How many got some crazy friends? How many got crazy people in your family? You got to know if you got crazy people in your family. You got to know it. And if we're not Jesus to the... Some of you are pointing at people like, they're here with me right now. This lady's pointing at... Y'all pointing at each other. Both of y'all pointing at her. Lord, have mercy. Double crazy. But it's authentic and true. What you see is what you get. The love of Jesus. Can't claim to be all in love with Jesus. Mean, hateful, selfish. Nothing worse than meeting somebody who proclaims Jesus Christ and they're hateful. Mean spirit. Don't like nobody. Everybody going to hell but them. No. Everybody going to hell but them. I thought I said everybody going to hell and them. Everybody going to hell. Well, I'm just kidding. I mean, think about it. Just hate, just not friendly. It just, there's something about it that just like, ooh, that's just, it's not clear. It just, it feels and sounds distorted. It's like a believer that won't forgive. It's like a believer eat up with bitterness. How many knows in the journey, you got to finally lay it down. Not let that thing eat you up, tie you up in your life. Here's a second thought, and I want to finish with this as it relates to the unstoppable love of God. The unstoppable love of God never fails. Never fails. Nothing like it on this planet. It never fails. See, the love of God walks into your life when everyone else is walking out of your life. It's unfailing. It's unconditional. It's what set Christ apart from the people that he met. There were the two things that they always said about Jesus. We've never seen truth like that. We've never heard truth like that. We've never heard anyone with the authority and the truth because he spoke the words of God. People, when he would speak, their hearts would burn. Why? They had never heard the word of God like that. That it was God in the flesh. There was a truth and an authority to it. It was noticeable when he would speak. It sounded like heaven. It was crystal clear. And you know the other thing that was undeniable was his compassion and his love for the least. Got the Pharisees constantly upset. Because he was always loving somebody that they thought shouldn't be loved. He was always reaching out to somebody that was not on their list of perfection or not on their list of acceptance or not on their list of being in right. Constantly, it was a problem for Jesus. They got so infuriated at Christ when he would reach out to someone that they felt like was the dirt of the road, that did not deserve God's love, God's mercy, God's truth. It was an undeniable description of our Savior. See, when everything was falling apart for that woman with the issue of blood, and she'd been to every doctor, things changed. Why? Because she met him. When everything was crumbling down on that woman, that girl, caught in the very act of adultery, something happened. She met him. when that precious man that lived in a world that was so dark, blind, on the side of the road, and everybody else tried to silence him, things changed because he met him. When the thief on the cross, I mean, at the final days of his life, so caught, so busted, there on the cross with his life flashing before him of failures and wrong decisions, flashing before him on the cross, hours away from the doorway of eternity, something changed because he met him. When I was 17 years old, confused about my future, wondering about death and eternity, having a lot of questions and no one seeming to give the right answer, my life changed because I met him. Don't you want to meet him?
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.